Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be the Vessel podcast. My name is Daniel, and I play the roles of channeler and intuitive psychologist, aiming to bridge all aspects of the healing arts while navigating my return journey to the stars. I interview those journeying through all aspects of healing, whether that be from more traditional Western frames or from a more spiritual or spirit-based connection. What I always find is that everyone is a bridge between worlds, a universe unto themselves, and a unique light that shines brightly for the collective. If you like what you hear and are interested in more of my offerings, consider joining the Be the Vessel community at patreon.com/DrDanielAtkins, where you will find various unique offerings, bonus content, and podcasts such as my own channeled information and the new Be the Vessel healing series. May you find what you're looking for and remember the light within. And lastly, the views in this episode do not represent my personal views, nor are they to be taken as medical advice or scientific fact. Always do your own research, come to your own conclusions, and trust your own guidance. Natha Perkins is a professional astrologer with a passion for decoding the spiritual and psychological aspects of the zodiac so that you can navigate your life's emotional journeys. With planetary and intuitive insights, she uses astrological language to help make sense of your personal history, offering practical guidance and meaningful perspective. She also shares her expertise by teaching others how to harness the power of zodiac archetypes for personal transformation and emotional well-being. On this episode, Natha and I dive into some of the most transformational transits and tower moments in our lives that redirect our compass to our life's greatest mission, as well as what we are collectively guided to embrace in the years to come. If you are interested in Natha's offerings, you can visit her website at electraastrology.com, find her on Instagram at electra_astrology, Facebook as Natha Astrology, and her incredible podcast, Star Narratives, to dig further into astrological concepts and forecasts. Please enjoy this episode with professional astrologer Natha Perkins, and may it be a gift, an invitation, and a medicine to let go of the old ways and choose your highest timeline. Hi, Natha. Thanks so much for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you today.
Me too. I've interviewed a couple astrologers and I always love it. It's such a fascinating blend of intuition and science, as we talked about briefly. And it's something like, I've probably said this, it's something I'll probably always be on the outskirts of, just because it doesn't feel in my nature to fully embody myself with it. But I'm such a curious observer. I'm always looking at my transits. I've learned a lot about it over the past couple years. And so I love talking to people who it is really their world, because it is such a fascinating framework and lens through which to see the world that I find very supportive for really all other aspects of seeing the world. So let's start with a super general question about how you came to astrology or how astrology found you.
I love that question. You know, I, for many years, saw myself as being intuitive, but it started as a young person and I really hated it because I felt like I had more information about my peers than I really wanted. And I felt like there was always this internal witness that was there giving me information that I didn't really want, because it made me feel like an outsider. It made me feel different. And so I really turned it off. I made a point of right around 13, turning it off. I didn't want to know, and so it took me many years of living life and having to see things differently, you know, as we have these life experiences that are unexplainable. And we're like, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And some of that knowledge, some of that witness started to come back for me. And then it was right around probably in my mid-30s, as I was going through some big astrology transits, that the whole window of spirituality kind of opened up for me again. And I had my first astrology reading. My mind was blown. She had so many things to tell me about myself that I knew, but I had never thought about it in that way. So I was like, oh my God, what is this astrology thing? I need to know more. And so I dabbled, I learned a lot. I got to know, you know, I was asking everybody that I knew, like, what's your chart? What's your birth data? And got okay at astrology. You know, I knew enough to be dangerous. And then, you know, life keeps going and I get an email in my inbox from an astrologer who apparently I was on her email list. She was looking for an apprentice. And for whatever reason, I felt really called to apply. And it was this long, elaborate application. And I ended up making it. I became her apprentice. And it was my process of learning astrology. You know, you mentioned that you didn't know whether astrology was ever going to be like your big tool. And I think that that is true with a lot of us where we come in from past lives or we're here as light workers on the planet where we have an understanding, we have a memory of these tools. Not every single one is meant to be our tool in this lifetime, but I feel that astrology is definitely meant to be my big tool in this lifetime, because as I was learning with my mentor, a lot of the astrology knowledge, in hindsight, I don't remember learning it. I believe that much of it was downloaded to me. A lot of it was probably knowledge from past lives. But now, you know, I do astrology full time and I'm just in the zodiac all the time. And it is a huge map. It is really a lot to comprehend. And so, like, back to what you were saying, it is so amazing. Even if all you do is dabble, you can get to be an intermediate, you can get to be a master. Every bit of astrology knowledge that you are able to use can be really helpful because it is just a tool for self-reflection. It's a tool to help us see ourselves more clearly. And, you know, that's kind of what, if you're listening to this kind of podcast, I would assume that's what you're here to do.
I would gather. Yeah, thank you. There's a couple of things I want to follow up on. Firstly, I will say, you know, my part of me is envious of people who really feel rooted in their big tool, because, and I'll ask you a couple of questions that actually get into a little bit of my chart for selfish reasons, but you know, I thought I had my big tool in clinical psychology, and then the universe was like, nope, that's not it. And so then I'm like, you know, sort of crawling around in the dark, like, could it be this? Could it be this? Could it be this? And I've learned enough about my own process of surrender to be like, just keep opening, keep exploring. You don't have to attach to any one thing. Your path is still being revealed. But I always find it really cool to talk to people who are rooted in their big tool. It's just it feels really comforting in a way to hear someone speak from really confidently and still flexibly, but confidently in their lens, which I think is just so you can really just be in your gifting and then explore from there. Like, it's not like that's your whole world, but it can be a foundation from which you explore other lenses or perspectives. So, and now I'm remembering, because the last time we spoke, you had mentioned that period in your mid-30s, which is right around where I am now. And had you known about astrology prior to that? Was it introduced in your family? Was it something you were curious about? Or was it really all new around that time? And actually, just because I'm curious, like, what were, if you remember, the transits going on? I know it wasn't your Saturn return. It was a little in the aftermath of that, but what was going on then?
Well, what was happening for me was I was having my Pluto square Pluto. And so we usually have that in our late 30s. Mine was also coinciding with Pluto and crossing my rising sign. And so if any of you listening have been through Pluto transits, they are highly transformational. They really ask you to start identifying your shadow, the things that are holding you back, the things that are keeping you from fulfilling this mission and purpose. And I think that's what happened, was that I just had
you know, I was going through a divorce. It was really unexpected and really like mind-shattering for me, because who I thought I was going to be this married mom with this happily ever after family. And suddenly that just wasn't what was happening. And so I think that astrology was sort of delivered to me during that time period as a way to say, look, this isn't because you're just screwing everything up. Like, this is in alignment with your soul path. And we have to go through these really difficult things sometimes to awaken us. So that's part of what was happening. You know, I had come from a pretty spiritual family. My mom, my stepmom, and my dad had been in spiritual work. So I had that as a baseline growing up. But, you know, like we do when we're teens, we kind of blow off what our parents are doing. So it was like I had heard of things like tarot and astrology and the Enneagram, et cetera. So I knew of those things, but they didn't really become in my conscious awareness of tools that I could use until I had to go through just a major, you know, sort of breakdown. It was like, as they say, if you know tarot, it was a tower moment in my life, but it did open the door to this tool here now that has, you know, in many ways become at least my calling for now. I, you know, like you said, sometimes we have to be flexible about how these things are going to work, but that was the door opening. It was two Pluto transits right on top of each other.
Wow. Okay. Yes. And in my, you know, beginner level knowledge, I do know a bit about Pluto as the big transformer. And I'm sure our charts are different, but interestingly, you know, other intuitives and astrologers have described the past couple years of my life as a tower moment as well. And I would say that checks out. So that is certainly interesting. And one other thing I noticed just from scrolling through your website and a little about your descriptions, I'm not sure if this aligns with that big time period, but I just caught a brief line that said over 8 years of sobriety. And that resonates a lot with me and my own path. And of course, you know, you only speak to whatever you're comfortable sharing, but if you would be open to it, I would just love to hear how that aspect of your journey influenced where you are today.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. You know, I think that was one of the, during the Pluto transits, you know, that Pluto does represent things like addiction. And so as we're going, you know, as we're going through difficult times in our life, it can be easy to numb out or to try to find some way to not have to feel and not have to deal with the awareness. And so, you know, I've talked about this on my podcast. And so there, you know, if anyone is listening, you can hear the full story on Star Narratives. But what happened was that I realized, and this was in a Neptune square Neptune transit, which we all do in our early 40s. I realized that if I wanted to be a good astrologer and a good guide and be able to help people, because that for me, using astrology really is about helping people become more self-aware, because I think that the more self-awareness we have, that is how to heal the planet. And so I had these really strong downloads that I needed to stop drinking, because it's not like my drinking was raging or out of control. I wasn't getting hammered, but it was getting habitual. And so we would call that like gray area drinking, where you're just kind of drinking a few glasses of wine every night. But I would wake in the night with anxiety. I would wake up the next morning kind of headachy and puffy and crabby. And I knew like this has to be like, you are not going to have that conduit from spirit if you are blocking it with other kinds of spirits, right? Mm-hmm. So it took me from my Pluto. So it was like my Pluto transits was probably about when I was under so much stress that the drinking became habitual. And then the Neptune transits were the wake-up call. Now, the whole time I had been conscious of like not wanting to drink. And I would go like, I'm going to go this whole month without drinking, or I'm only going to drink on Fridays and Saturdays. And that was successful, But it always ended up back to the same thing where I'd have like a week and I'm like, oh my God, I've had wine every single night this week. And so it was that Neptune transit time that I finally just said, you know what? This isn't working for me anymore. And I stopped and was able to stop. And so now it has been, yeah, January was 8 years.
Well, congratulations. And yes, thank you for sharing all of that. And it's not a written rule, but it does seem to be that more of those with the empathic nature and the intuitive gifts are looking for ways out because it's not easy to be here. And I am definitely firmly in that category, which I'll get into for my next question to talk a little bit about Pisces, which my moon is in Pisces. But it also, that also struck me when you said the thing about Neptune, because just as I've been looking at my own transits, I am just finishing up Neptune square Saturn and square Uranus. The Saturn and Uranus are like 1 degree apart in my chart. So I've been doing that. And then, yeah, Neptune, my natal Neptune's right around the corner. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with my own growth in that journey. And so when you stopped, what happened to your gifts? Like what happened to your intuition?
Well, the first 2 years were really hard because, you know, essentially when you spend a bunch of time not feeling, and then you send the message to your psyche, like, hey, I'm ready to feel, a lot came up. And I have, you know, I mean, even still to this day, it's like, I feel like I'm processing a lot of what I was numbing before. So that has happened, but that's also given me a much more understanding about who I am and how I process things. And my gifts have really gotten so much better, you know, more intuitive, more in the flow. And of course, when I started doing professional astrology, where I was just reading charts all day, I really had to make sure that I was getting out of my mind, because our minds, as you know, like our minds are like these dictators, and they have a lot to say about who we are and how we should think and how we should appear to others, etc. So that was also a lot of it, is realizing that a lot of why I drank in the first place was to get freedom and space from my mind, and then having to relearn how to work with my mind so that it wasn't such a dictator and that I could allow that flow to come in. Because when I'm doing chart readings, it's not like it's me sitting here with my education and knowledge pulling from, you know, what I've learned. It is mostly me just allowing the flow to come in. And I had to really learn how to do that again. But at this point, the flow is so much more intuitive. I don't cringe every time I say something to someone like, oh God, I really hope that lands. I just assume that it will land, and it does. So that's been part of what has happened for me, is I've freed myself from a lot of my desire to appear a certain way.
Yeah. And that certainly resonates. I only really knew how to access flow state with substances in my early life. I was so riddled by the fear conditioning, by what I would call trauma and my mind. I did not, you know, substances were the only tool I knew of. You know, I practiced meditation from my father, but I hadn't really got it. I was just like, I was pretending a lot and still relying on substances. And I've been abstinent from alcohol for, let's say 5 or 6 years now, let's say. And, those have been the most transformative years of my life, because those, you know, I'd gone through all this schooling, but, you know, what I would call the trauma healing journey really began 5 or 6 years ago when I was ready to feel. And I have a lot of feelings. So it really, it all came up. And through that, you know, I've often said, you know, people who like want to sort of train their intuition or become a channel or whatever it is, open psychic gifts and all of that cool, fun stuff. What I have found is that, you know, trauma healing and intuitive opening are two sides of the same coin. It's learning how to work with this body, this nervous system, this brain, which is important in the gifting, and creating enough safety to allow in that information. Otherwise, it's pretty, can knock you around pretty good. So yeah, this feels like a good time to go a little bit more into astrology and to some things that I navigate, as you may as well, and I'm sure others would be curious to know. So you have a podcast called Star Narratives, and I tuned in just a bit, and of course I was just guided to the things that related to me. And I tuned into the episode you did on Pisces, and I was really struck. I hadn't heard someone phrase it as the water sign with no armor compared to like some of the other water, like Scorpio and Cancer. And that resonated with me. I do have some layers of armor that I've had to navigate and work through as a result of other things. But that Piscean part of me definitely feels super raw, super, super vulnerable, and also quite intuitive. And so when I was ready to start surrendering to what I would also call the more divine feminine aspects of myself, not trying to force this very traditional male role, there was more flow. There was just even more emotionality, or let's say different kinds of emotionality. And just recognizing the really important need for energetic hygiene. And I think this is what you were speaking to on that episode. So I would be curious on that topic of energetic hygiene. How do you practice? Do you have Pisces in your chart? And how do you practice this for yourself?
Yeah, that's funny because you said that you have a Pisces moon, right?
Yeah.
And I do too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and really this holds true for all of us because Neptune in the sky is in the highest degrees of Pisces right now.
Right,
this year, it
right.
will travel to 29 degrees. Yeah. And those are always degrees of mastery. And so we can say, because, you know, we're all along for this ride, and Neptune hasn't been in Pisces since, you know, this isn't the second time that we've done this. We've all only done Neptune through Pisces once. So we're all in it together.
Wow.
And now we're hitting the master degrees of it. Mm-hmm. So we are all dealing with this sense of, you know, what is God? What is higher power? And how does it show up in our lives? These are Pisces, Neptune things. And we're looking also at how intuitive we are. Why do we pick up on other people's energy? What do we do with it when we pick up on it? And then we're looking at this idea that, you know, we don't have armor against it. We can't necessarily say, I'm not going to catch your bad mood, because it just happens like that. So we're all really working with this. And so this idea of energetic hygiene is a really important one, because ultimately with Neptune, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get closer to spirit. We're trying to learn how to tune in and how to trust and how to surrender and how to really understand that there are things that are so much greater than us going on. Our human mind, back to that, really wants to understand and really wants to think like, oh, you know, whatever we humans are doing is the only thing that's happening and that's the only thing that's important. But that's really not it. You know, this is where we are all on some level coming into a stronger connection with our higher power, whatever that is. But in order to get there, we have to clear the conduit, right? So for some of us, we get called to enter into sobriety. Some of us get called to do spiritual practice like yoga, walking, meditation, whatnot. A lot of us, being empathic, really have to start looking at how can I separate myself in some way from what's going on with everybody else, because that's so distracting. Like when we're in a time where we have so much exposure to everything that everybody else is doing around the world, and thinking, and their belief systems, and their opinions, and it's all very messy, if we allow ourselves to kind of, you know, swim in those waters. And like you said, Pisces does not have a shell. It does not have any armor. So its only defense mechanism is to swim away. And so sometimes we swim away using drugs or alcohol or scrolling, and we just dissociate. But another way to swim away is to learn energetic hygiene, which is where we clear our energy. And that can look anything from like the most woo-woo of like saging and lighting Palo Santo, or it can be like, I'm going to take a shower and imagine that everything that no longer serves me is washing away, or I'm going to bless my water and say, you know, will you bring me peace and contentment and abundance as I drink you? And there are so many ways that we can practice energetic hygiene. I think the biggest thing to say to anybody listening is have a presence practice. So what is it that just brings you into the present moment? Because that disconnects your brain. It reminds you that all of this busyness, all of this anxiety, all of this efforting and having these opinions and these positions, like it falls away temporarily when you can take a deep breath and just come into the present moment. And that's really where the clarity is, because that's where the connection to the higher self is.
Yeah, I love that. And there's a lot I want to follow up on there. Starting with, I love how you started with like, we all kind of want to know in this energy, what is God? And I was raised in a Jewish family and never totally resonated a lot with it. Like, you know, the culture, the epigenetics, the ancestry, it's in my blood, it's in my body. But my mind wasn't like, my mind was just like, I don't, am I supposed to believe in this? Why? I don't feel anything. I couldn't feel anything. And really just in the past, let's say 5 or 6 years, that period, I started to feel and know what I would call God. If I would relate the seeker in me to the Pisces in my chart, I would say I was really leaning in to explore that spiritual connection. And I was looking, I was heavily, and I'd always been looking, I just hadn't been looking in the right places. My vision, the compass was starting to get clear as I removed some other things from my space, but it was confusing. And I'll talk about in a minute the other part of my chart, which doesn't like the confusion, because my sun is in Virgo. I was born one day after a full moon. So we'll talk about that polarity. The other part of me that's like, no, I want to know, like, what is this? And I was like deep in psychoanalysis, and I was like thinking I knew it all, but you can't think your way into knowing, not this kind of way. And my body was really sick, so I was just being led to surrender more than I ever had. And that allowed in a kind of spiritual connection through experiencing, not through intellect, not through trying to figure out, not through knowing or creating safety through the mind, but being experience-led or experience-driven. And it's scary. And I always had a lot of fear as a kid. And just reflecting on that Pisces part, the only thing I knew how to like swim away, as you said, was to wall off and close off and isolate. And I felt a lot of shame around that. I was like, oh, you know, because there is a very natural, joyful connecting part of me that wants to merge, that like desperately wants to merge. And everyone in spirituality, you know, he talks about union and merging and all that. And at the same time, what I'd learned from my own journey is that I needed to honor my separateness. You know, we're playing a game of separateness in the human form. Ultimately, we're all one, yes. But while we're in these bodies, there is a utility to the separateness, to honoring the individuality and discovering like what it is that I get to bring, this more relatively unique version of I, and how to take care of that version. And so, you know, over time and in the past, you know, period that I've been mentioning, like learning to honor that separateness, honoring the aloneness, honoring it as a self-care practice, like seeing it as a gift that while the older parts of me were constantly trying to chase my way out of the aloneness and fill it up, this version of me could honor and relish in the gift of that space to take care of myself and clear my energy through various, a lot of the practices you mentioned and other ones that I've discovered along the way, so that I could step back into union, into a form of merging, into just connection and finding my tribe and community with that, that safety and trust that like I can take care of myself. So a lot of that, and the part about finding that spiritual connection to see that from that expanded perspective, we're not alone. The personality feels alone, but through that spirit connection that doesn't have to come through any other thing outside yourself, there's a little bit of bolstering, like, okay, there's a team, you know? And if, you know, you're more like me and, you know, you claim to talk to spirit guides and other things that come through, that's cool too. But it's really more of just a feeling. It doesn't have to be the Pleiadians or whatever. It's just like, you just, it can be a feeling of, yeah, that it's okay, even when the body's feeling separate. So a lot of that resonated with me. So now to the other part of me. I, of course, then kept scrolling through your podcast and clicked on the Virgo way. And this definitely resonates. Liking to be prepared, having your ducks in a row, or at least they wish it to be so. That was the key part, because I am not an organized person, but a part of me desperately wishes I was. And I received lots of diagnoses as a kid. OCD was one of them. And so there is, alongside all that Piscean surrender and messiness, a part of me that is like, well, okay, it has to be perfect. Even if I'm pursuing a spiritual path, that has to be rigid and habitual, and it has to know what's going to happen. So yeah, there's like a unique organization to my style. And I've been swimming through the possibility of how to restructure my life without a map, which part of me really doesn't like. So my question for you would be, how would you suggest to someone with such polarity in their chart, for lack of a better word, like me, engage with the different aspects of themselves, whether it's mind and heart or however we might define it?
Well, that's a good question. And I see this in charts all the time, because we are given challenges where we have these different parts of us that have differing needs and don't understand one another. And especially when it comes to that Pisces Virgo axis, which in my opinion is probably the most difficult axis for all of us to work with and contend with, because it is the human, that Virgo is the human part of us. I just did a podcast episode in season 5 on Virgo and Pisces. And
oh,
Virgo,
I'll have to check that out.
Part of us. Yeah, it's like, that's the part that wants to do things, that wants to predict, wants things to go our way. We want to be organized. It is very human that says, I know this to be true because this is how I want it to be, and this is how I've experienced it in the past. And like you said, we are here experiencing separateness. That is part of what we're doing here. And we are experiencing being human. So we have to mop the floor, and we have to have the head cold. We have to do the errands. So we have to do that. Then we also know on some level, and are being called, most of us in one way or another, to relax and to not be so anxious, and to just experience, like, what else is there? It's not just about me. And so when we're tasked with that, and really this is true for any duality that you have in your chart, the idea is to try to understand them both. And in that deeper understanding of saying, I am this and I am also that, it's like we can try to find that magic in the middle, which is, which parts of me can take care of the business over here, and which parts of me are going to tap into the business of spirit, or whatever it is. And I think that's, as an astrologer, that's what I'm always trying to counsel people around, is saying, like, there's nothing wrong with you. This is what your soul desired to come in and learn and experience. And it is a million shades of gray here. Our human mind wants to be black and white, but it's never really black and white. And we never really get all the answers, and we never really prove all the things. And the science isn't always really the science. Like, it's
there's so much nuance and so much complexity in this human experience that if we can rest into it and just go with the flow, like, okay, this is weird and I don't have the answer and I wish it wasn't like this. That's really how we evolve and grow. Those that push up against everything so strongly, I think are probably the ones that are struggling the most. But there is just an invitation always to relax. Relax, try to understand, but also be tapping into the, really the key is time, right? Time is the thing that always reveals the answers to us. But we don't like that. We don't like patience. We don't like, you know, not knowing the answer immediately. And that's part of our human experience.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been going through that, you know, polarity to like the nth degree. Also, like the past couple, like there was a full moon in August that was like exactly like over my birthday. That was exactly that position, like the sun, my solar return, and then the moon in Pisces. And then we just had one recently that was like the exact reverse. So, and this whole period has been like Neptune conjunct my moon and then Saturn opposing my sun. So it was like, it was really tense to try to let go and surrender. And I'm doing it. And I can have a pretty extreme personality sometimes, let's say. So I'm like letting go of everything. I like let go of everything. I left my clinic. I drive across the country. But then the other part of my, you know, my ego mind is like desperately crawling and striving and fighting and digging. And so, yeah, learning how to relax in that space has been quite the ride. I'm grateful for it. wouldn't choose to do it again, but grateful for the lessons. And so let's get even a little bit more expansive, less about me personally, but 'cause it seems like there's a lot of that for all of us. There's a lot of that path for all of us right now, letting go of the conditions of the egoic mind, or even let's call it the scientific mind that wants to know in a way that ultimately isn't really provable, but gives us more comfort compared to the surrender experiment that we're being invited into, whether it's because of these planets in Pisces or because of Pluto entering Aquarius, or just because of where we are in humanity's development. I know a little bit about some exciting things that are that we're approaching, like this Jupiter Uranus conjunct and some other things. So I would just love to hear a little bit about where we're at in the early stages of 2024 and what we might be leaning into. Not so the Virgo part of my mind can predict everything that's going to happen and know it all, just so we can have some fun and chatting about it.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to say that what I'm noticing is that with people that are empaths or light workers or healers, whatever it is that you identify with, that some of the lessons and the work that we have been given over the past few years it's not been the most glamorous work. You know, we're kind of being asked to look at things like you were just sharing, like my relationship to needing to know, my relationship to anxiety, to just stuff that feels very boring or very unglamorous in nature. But what I find is that as we each on a personal level learn how to work with this stuff, like, I don't want to have patience. Great. Now I have to have patience. I don't want to have anxiety. Great. Now I have to have anxiety. That we're kind of learning how to deal with it personally. So then we can take what we've learned and help other people, because we do have an awakening on the planet. There's more consciousness now than we've ever had. And even this ability to be able to feel into past lives or channel, connect in with star people, with angels, with aliens, all of that, you know, the fact that we can do this now, more of us can do this now, the veils are thinning. So it is really in alignment that we all have to start figuring out how to deal with the mundane, because that's what people need help with, right? Is like, help me figure out how to be more patient. Help me figure out why I'm so anxious, et cetera. So then we look at the upcoming astrology and we say, you know, we are in a time period where we are all being destabilized. So we look around and it became very obvious in 2020 as we had to go through a pandemic where what we had predicted, the life that we had all thought was going to run the way that we thought forever, got turned on its side and it really hasn't recovered. And so we know that it's not going to be recovering anytime soon. And we look at the upcoming astrology and we say, okay, so what is it? What are we supposed to be doing? And we're getting the same messages that you're talking about, like, oh, I'm supposed to understand this weird quirk that I have. I'm supposed to understand myself on a deeper level. I'm healing things from past lives. I'm healing things moving forward into whoever comes after me in my lineage. And so that's the astrology that we're looking at. So yes, we have eclipses coming up in the next few weeks. Those are going to be really potent because eclipses are always wild card energy where we have been. So if you think about it, and really, even if you're listening to this podcast in, you know, 2045, you can look back to this period of time and say, what was happening for me in my life? What were my mission orders that I was given? And I mean, that's a good question. Daniel, what are your mission orders that you've been given over the past few weeks? Anything pop into your mind?
Oh, yeah. I already talked too much about myself, but I will, let's see. Well, firstly, yes to this past, however many years that I've been referring to, has been the deepest, what I would call trauma healing of my life. And I'm at this place now where I'm invited to let go even further of my stories. And there's nothing more fragmenting than really letting go of the deeper stories because, you know, because they're not even, because some of them aren't even necessarily negative stories, but let's say some of them were, I'm on this trauma healing journey. And I actually recently just came back from this amazing energy healing retreat run by this guy, Donnie Epstein, who created this energy medicine called Network Spinal. And it's a super cool framework that's benefited me. And one of his challenges is like, what if you let it all go? What if that past wasn't even you? What if you're not on a journey? What if it's all happening now? And a part of my mind is like, no, I'm on a healing journey. I'm on a healing journey. And someone take it. And I could see someone taking that away from me was like, oh my God, I'm attached to the healing journey. And, you know, it's, I think sometimes, especially when like an authority figure that can be a little bit on a pedestal when you're in an event like that, when they give you a different story, part of the ego wants to be, okay, you're right. I'm done with my story. Give me yours. But actually the expanded mind can be like, well, what if both can be true? What if you have been on this healing journey, but in this moment, you're actually being invited to see like, well, what if that period can, it's not to say in some grandiose way, oh, I'm fully healed now, but to just keep loosening the bolts on your mind. And like, what if even that story wasn't true? And that's been so powerful for me because, and so challenging because as the, what I would call the channeling and the intuitive gifts and started to open and I started to say all kinds of wacky things and tell weird things to my parents and weird things to my friends and even weirder things to people on the internet, you know, the continued invitation is have the experience, but it's not necessarily true. And so I'm like riding this wave of like, okay, here's what I say about ETs and here's what's like happening to me in this state. But, or here's what happens to me under the plants, under plant medicines. But what if it's not necessarily true? And like walking that line of exploring a new story, potentially about my own past, potentially about my future, because I receive a lot of information about the future. Potentially about whatever, some healing medicine or something, and just dancing with it. That's been one of the biggest invitations for me. And a lot of the information I had been receiving was that I was being initiated so that I could step more into my gifting in the years to come and be of service and be a leader. And, but again, not even attaching so much to that story, like it needs to happen and I need to be really abundant and be whatever. And I have visions of myself on stages and all kinds of cool things, but it's like dancing with that, like you get, entertaining it, but staying here. And, let's see. So in the past few weeks, what really, took center stage was, even though I was all just talking about letting go of this healing journey story, it was healing my body because my health has been one of the biggest, let's say, missions or lessons of my life to date. I don't sense it will always have to be. I sense that it's coming to a little bit of a head. That Uranus, the Jupiter thing is happening in my sixth house. Uranus has been in my sixth house actually since I took this leap and moved across the country. So there's been a lot of this health theme. And from that workshop I was at, it was something like a peak energetic experience where there was me, because in the earlier months of the year, I was really going deep into some of the more sickness elements of my experience that I'd navigated for 10 plus years. And I was sort of being brought back down into it, which is always humbling and scary, but then coming out of it in some amazingly transformative ways, which relate to what I would call the gifting, because they were these really high energetic states where I'm like floating, where, you know, I'm connected, I can see everything, the intuition. So I guess that's a very long-winded way of saying it feels for me, the missioning is unfolding. I don't necessarily know so much how it's going to look, but in rapid healing, like a next level of physical healing in my body, and sort of what some might call this Kundalini awakening. You know, I'm skeptical of, or I'm cautious to use certain words like Kundalini awakening and stuff, because I'm not claiming anything. But that's certainly what it feels like, a little bit, just in that recent experiencing. And now I'm integrating a bit of that, I'm excited to see how it all unfolds. And it feels like that these recent experiences are supporting what I'm stepping into.
What we can look at, what anybody listening can look at is, you know, over, let's say, the course of the last 6 months, so the last few months of 2023 into the first few months of 2024, in a similar way, what has been challenging? And one of the things that you mentioned was that your beliefs have undergone a lot of challenge. And so all of us have been given these mission orders or these lessons, these classes, proverbial classes that we're meant to be taking, because what's happening in the next few years is that we're all being propelled into new timelines, different paths, different journeys. And so we are in the prep period where we're getting a sense of what we're supposed to be doing next. And like you said, we don't get the answers yet. We don't know the full story. But we do know that we're all being course corrected in some way. So you can look back at what has been presented to you in the last few months that has been sort of repetitious in nature of like, is it about your beliefs? Is it about your abundance? Is it about your health? Like, what is it that you have been asked over and over to examine? Because that's probably going to be the focus for what you're going to be working on moving forward. And again, if you're listening to a podcast like this, you are one of the people that is very likely a, you know, you're like a leader, or you're one of the people that's like holding your hand out to help others across the bridge, because we are going to have more and more consciousness, people that are starting at zero that have no idea. And then people that have been doing this work for years, many years. And you know, not everybody is going to awaken. That's not how a collective works, but more and more people are going to be awakening as we move into these next handful of years. So that sleepy consciousness where we are all only concerned about money and power and control, that is, you know, coming to an end. It's not going to come to an abrupt end, and it may not even be obvious for years, but we are making that shift right now. And so you listening to this podcast, you're a part of that shift. So you're going to know exactly how you're supposed to be helping people by paying a lot of attention to what is happening right now.
Yeah. And it's actually super validating and resonates a lot with my own guidance about these couple. I've heard that these couple months leading up to that conjunct in April are just hugely important for me. And they're really amplifying what I heard was that healing. But you know, when you spoke to sort of the repetition of patterns, my physical condition had really been quite up and down, even though it's very different from, you know, the stuckness I was in and that I talk about in my 20s. But I was really being brought to sort of the depths of, let's say, the remaining vestiges of those energetic elements in my body and my karma, however we describe it, and continuously hearing from my guides, this is a process of clearing the vessel so that you can serve, which is cool, but it's also like, okay, but can it happen easier? and you mentioned, you know, a few areas, it also feels that my physical condition is intimately related to my abundance as well. And because it's my capacity to serve and how I, but I've been guided to surrender and to let go and be like, yeah, you're not making things happen. You're not like even though that's sort of a popular idea, you're not manifesting your abundance in that way. You're manifesting it by just healing, by just being with yourself. Like that's the manifestation, contrary to, you know, the more, ego mind version of like, I created all this wealth and I created all these experiences. And it's like that I had to personally, maybe that's how it aligned for other people. I personally had to let go of that and let it be a surrender experiment and trust that the abundance, the service, the opportunity, all the gifts were coming by allowing the body to heal in this way. And so that feels like that's part of what's being refocused or course corrected, as you said. So yeah, so maybe others can be tuning into what is feeling course corrected for them. And I don't always go into the future, but sometimes I do, and sometimes I personally go far into the future and start writing about, you know, periods like 2044, which I don't know. I didn't know anything about astrology, but I was like hearing these dates and all these periods. And I guess that's probably when Pluto is shifting out of Aquarius or something like that. That I just was hearing that was a very powerful time. But I was also, I started speaking a little bit sometimes live about month by month upcoming things, not anything to do with astrology because I didn't know anything about it, but just my own guidance. And I'd be curious how it aligns with what you know intuitively and from an astrological frame, just regarding the next couple years, 2025 and 2026. Like I'd been hearing that there, and I hear other people say that, you know, through 2025, there's still going to be some challenges as there will be. But I'd also felt like there was still going to be some real moments of expansion and like mind expansion, like real opening. I've also felt that what I call energetics, really just understanding sort of the quantum field, the energetic body, the chakra system, however we frame it, the nature of reality, would come more into awareness and maybe even a little bit more evidence-based through advancements in technology and things like that. And as well as seeing 2026 as like, at least in my own, from my own guidance, as a very light-based year, like a real, like just an influx of light. That doesn't mean everything's good and everything's great, but like a real influx of light. I'd also started to learn a little bit more about solar flare activity and that there was actually just more light hitting the planet from the sun. So I'm curious if any of that resonates with what you see for those next couple years.
Yeah, well, first of all, because we are in such a time of transition where the old way, the things that we've come to understand as being valuable and as being the way that things work are disintegrating. So this idea that we have to make as much, we have to accumulate as much wealth and we can show our wealth by buying really fancy things and then people know how valuable we are. And this focus on beauty and on wealth and acquisition as indicators of power. Okay, that's kind of what we have learned. That's in a lot of our, most of our, just our sense of like, this is how it works. And those systems are beginning to crumble. And so what we're looking at instead is, if you really leaned into trust and you really leaned into the flow, what you will find, what we will all find, but it feels next to impossible sometimes, because we want the evidence of knowing that we're going to have the money so that we'll be safe. But what we're finding, what we're playing around with on some level is, do you just trust that you're going to, that the right amount of money is going to come to you in any given month, and that you're going to have exactly what you need, that you maybe aren't going to have $20 million, but you'll be just fine. So we're all kind of playing around with that. And we're all looking at it in different ways of, you know, these challenges that get brought to us. And then we see our way through the challenge and we realize like, whoa, that was really challenging. And I didn't die. I made it through and I'm stronger for it. So that's really the piece around Neptune that we're all, that piece around trying to trust in whatever your God is. That's what we're working on. Those people that are a little bit farther along in that lesson are going to experience the next few years in somewhat of a lighter way, because we're going to know like, ah, it's fine. Whatever we see out there, it's fine. And then the people that are still very attached to the old ways, it's going to feel really stressful because they might not have the spiritual foundation to trust. They might look around and say, this is all going to hell in a handbasket. And oh my God, what are we going to do? So there's this dualistic thing, and I'm sure you've gotten this through guidance, but where we actually are splitting into different timelines or different dimensions, where some people are going to be in the flow and really taking all of the changes in stride. And some people are going to be really stressed out and freaked out. And so one thing that I say, especially as we move into these high degrees of Neptune and also Pluto in Aquarius. So Neptune can represent subterfuge, magic, shadow and light, being shown things that aren't true. And then Aquarius is ruling technology. So it's going to be really important over the next handful of years to really understand that anything that you see through a screen may or may not actually be reality. And so really trying to exist less through screens, getting your information through screens is always needs to be taken with a grain of salt. Getting your information through downloads and through spirit and through nature is much more dependable, through the body is much more dependable. So as long as you're kind of headed in that direction with that knowledge as a baseline, I think the next few years are going to be powerful and mind-blowing, and they are going to bring us into such a richer, deeper connection with ourself, with our source, with our body, with the sentient beings around us. And then we're going to watch a lot of people totally struggle. And that's just what they have karmically incarnated to experience. And So, you know, you can think about, which path am I here to karmically experience? And I think you and I are probably like, we want the one where there's not a lot, you know, where we're more self-aware. So that's what I see moving forward.
Yeah. And I'll start by saying, you know, I feel my guides and my own ego mind being like, you've been doing it right. You've been doing it right, Daniel. You've been surrendering. You've been letting go. But like, you know, the funny part is like, okay, relax. You didn't like do this intentionally. Spirit just invited this in and took everything from you, basically. So like, but I do feel validated because I, as much as personally, I tried to, as I was saying, create or manifest money. It just what it like, you know, wasn't happening. I felt very distant from material wealth. I left my clinic right at a time where I had a full caseload and everything, and I just surrendered. And like, you know, it's been that journey where like, you know, my loved ones, my family, you know, want to check in with me, but I'm like, I'm not, if you looked at my behaviors, you know, I'm not allowing myself to work hard to like dig myself out of the place that I appear to be in on the surface, because I'm trusting in the surrender experiment. And my body hasn't really, it wouldn't allow, like, I know if I tried to go back to old ways, of behaving just to create some sense of material validation, I know it wouldn't work. I just know. And I know I'd probably get sick again. And I know. So I've been learning to swim in this place where I trust I am supported. I trust I am provided for. I trust I am abundant, even though I can't always see it in my circumstances. And at times it feels totally like a Neptunian pipe dream. It's like, you're just making all this shit up and you just going to need to get another regular job again. But another part of me is like, I'd rather die. And it's dramatic. It's super dramatic, but I kind of feel that way. Like I just couldn't. There are days where I'll be on my couch and there won't be much for me to do to feel productive. And yet everything I hear and know at the deepest parts of my being is like, this is aligned for you. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And that you will be called. You will be called. Spirit will give you a call, give you a ring when it's your time to show up and to serve, and the audience and whoever is supposed to be there will be there. But you're not like getting them. You're not like calling them in. And that's not to judge anyone who, you know, invests in different kinds of marketing strategies or anything that may be aligned for them. It's just wasn't really aligned for me. And so I've been navigating that. And it resonates so much with other things that I hear in my own guidance that, like, no matter what happens, I'm not going to create my life from fear. So if like there is an opportunity to create more wealth, to create more of that material security on the surface, but to do it from a place of fear, like the answer is no. And I don't say that from a place from some higher place, because given the chance, I probably would have done it, you know, but I would have learned my lesson. But I've learned through the unique ways that Spirit invited that in for me, to the point where it's just so clear that that relaxed state takes precedence. It really takes precedence, even if that means, you know, not taking on more opportunities or take, you know, right for right now, and trusting that when it's time, I can serve in greater abundance and opportunity from that relaxed state, from that nervous system safety, from that place that doesn't have to get all tense and in a knot, just trying to sustain some greater level of energy or some greater influx of abundance or validation, however it looks. Exposure is its own kind of currency that I think many people are realizing isn't actually that desirable. But, so however it comes, it's going to come to me in a relaxed state, or I'm going to do what I need to do to stay there. So that really resonates in terms of what we're being invited into. And yes, the timeline shifting and things like that, I don't always talk all about that because I receive a lot of information about different things, and some of it is not always the most accessible for people. But I will say that I literally hear, yes, that there are that. In this time, one of the biggest themes which you were touching on is how we perceive reality. And some people have the idea that we need to like root out all of the quote unquote fake news or and just come to one single reality. But my guidance is that that is not what is actually meant to be. What is meant to be is accepting and surrendering to the multiplicity. That there are multiple realities. There are multiple perspectives. And if you believe it, it's real for you. And that doesn't make it right or wrong, but it's a kind of a, what I have often said is it's like a choose your own adventure that we're embarking on. And there's going to be light-filled versions of the story and fear-based versions of the story. And you might not feel like you have a choice. And some people may karmically not necessarily have that choice in the way we understand it. But for those of us who appear and feel like we have some flexibility there or a little bit of a range, we're going to be presented different options of the video game and how we'd like to pursue it. And yes, I'm here for the light. I'm here for the surrender experiment, which is I sort of stumbled into on some level. My soul selected it before I was consciously aware of it. And I also kept hearing, and I had kept having these visions of like what I would call like temples of light or communities of light, being that like maybe what will start to unfold, at least in the short term, is not necessarily this collective union merging, all is one at first, but more smaller communities of light or other things, you know, playing out your choice, your shared belief system, that your bubble of beliefs that you're aligning with other people who align with that same frequency and creating from there. And that maybe our world will look a little bit like that, while also, you know, there being some collective things that do sort of expand the collective mind for all. That's how it's been feeling.
Yeah. And I think it's important to say, like, it's not that there is a right way and a wrong way, because that's another thing that the human mind, the ego, wants to get hooked into, is like, you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong. It's just what you're called to. And like you said, you kind of stumbled into it. Maybe some of it was the family that you were raised in. Maybe some of it was your past lives. But this is the path that you ended up on. And it just seemed natural. And that's the same for me. It just seems natural. Like, what makes sense to me is to question and to really be, I've really been guided into this idea of, can you just trust that everything is going to happen the way that it's supposed to happen? Can you surrender into that instead of trying to control? And it's really hard. It, like, I have to keep going back to remembering, oh, right, I'm trusting, over and over, sometimes several times a day. And I think that trusting in the flow, trusting that we're being guided in the exact right direction, is hard, but it is ultimately easier than grasping so desperately to these things that we've been taught we have to be: young, thin, beautiful, rich, powerful. We have to have fancy things. You know, we can go on and on with what we have been taught is desirable, but clinging to those things is making everybody sick. You said, like, yeah, we could go work 70 hours a week and try to amass our fortune, or we could get things injected into our bodies to make us even more beautiful. And those are things that people do. And if that works for them, then that is great. That's their path. But ultimately, it tends to lead you, I think, into places where you're exhausted. And so this idea of trust, it's like, maybe I'm supposed to be laying on the couch today because I feel exhausted. Why would I want to make myself unwell because I'm striving for this goal that was fed to me that doesn't actually make any sense? So this is part of what we're all just kind of dealing with right now. And I think that the healers, the light workers, when we have to work this stuff out on our own, we get to really understand it. We get to understand the nuance, the difficulties, the how many times a day we have to pull ourselves back to remembering to trust. And that's how we're really good teachers. Because if we weren't having to do all of this mundane work over and over all day, every day, we wouldn't really be good teachers. We wouldn't know how to guide people into doing the same thing. Because believe me, we're all working with the same stuff here. We're all in the human experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do feel a great honor and privilege to share my path, you know, that sort of Gandhi line, my life is my message. And I thought I was a good teacher before. And now I know I'm a good teacher just because I continue to walk this path. And I share all parts of me. I share parts of me that aren't super pretty. And I put that online. And, you know, I'll add one more thing to that list of things that we think we want, which is like 50,000 followers of some kind on social media or something. And even when you're creating content that is like quote unquote spiritual or right, like I find myself in that capacity. I've had guests on this podcast, you know, just very earnestly say like, so what do your listeners want to hear? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't really do this for them, to be honest. And it's like, that's cool if there's another way of twisting the words to be like, no, I'm here to serve. And it's like, yes, I am. But I'm not going to claim to really know how it's going to look. And personally, I'm not going to do a lot of analytics either, because it's just not my nature. I mean, I guess it is part of that nature, but not, it's not where I'm at. Because I trust that I'm just meant to show up and go where I'm inspired and talk to people that interest me. And I just trust that my path will be of interest and service to people. Yes, that is one of the biggest ego challenges, is like, my mind is something that likes to be right. It is something that loves to be right and likes to know that I'm on the right path. But really, all I want to do is be me. I just want to be my most meanness. And that, you know, doesn't mean that it's going to be like some enlightened or awakened state as it looks for like an Eckhart Tolle or like a Byron Katie or someone else. I'm not even necessarily striving for that. I'm wanting to be the full me. And I think that we're all being invited to really just embrace us in all the ways that it looks, and then to learn from what it's like to be us, because there's growth and change that comes from that. But leaning into that fully and sharing it, because it's felt good and I felt a push to do it, and trusting that that will also guide me forth. Well, Natha, this has been amazing. I feel like we've dug in. We've covered a few things. Is there anything else, anywhere else you would feel guided to go or speak to on these topics or anything else?
Well, I mean, just to kind of finalize what you were just saying, is like, we all give ourselves the grace to understand that we do want reflection. We do want, you know, that's a kind of currency too. And whether we're making millions, we're the most beautiful, we're the most popular, it all falls under the same umbrella of, I just want to be seen, you know, and that's the sun in astrology. And when you look outside, what do we see? The sun. We always know what the sun is doing. And so we want to be seen, we want to be validated. And what we find is that all the external validation really ends up feeling empty. You know, you can have the millions in the bank and still not be happy. You can be the most beautiful, the most popular. And by the way, what we see on social media is the most popular also draw the most trolls and the most cruelty.
Yes. Yes.
So there's, you know, we have to remember that these things that our ego wants usually come at quite a cost, right? And that essentially what we're doing is we're working to see ourselves clearly. The more that we see ourselves, and that includes understanding that we are of spirit, that we have a higher self, that we connect in with that which is outside of us as a way to self-reflect. That's really what we're looking to do. And that is, in my opinion, what brings us into the most contentment. And it's also, like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about energetic hygiene, is when you can get these moments of silence, these moments of solitude, and that is where we get the clarity that says, from spirit, I will lead you. I will give you the path. All you have to do is quiet enough to listen to it. And if we follow that path, it usually leads us exactly in the right direction. It may not lead us in the most, financially abundant direction, but that's okay, because the abundance comes in other ways, right? It's like, we're still taken care of. We still have what we need. You know, I may not make you the most popular, but that's okay, because you're still touching exactly who you need to touch. And there's a deconditioning and a reconditioning that's happening for those of us that are on this particular path, which is, do you see yourself? How clearly do you see yourself? And that's really the question for all of us. How clearly do you see yourself right now? And can you see yourself even more clearly?
Yeah, because the clearer we can see ourselves, the clearer we will see what is meant for us, what our gifting is, what lies ahead for us, which we're not really going to find by just absorbing other people's paths or an influencer path, or it can support us. I'm not saying there's no value in that. I like listening to other things, other people. It's not for me about walling that off, But like you said, the clear we ultimately, all of those sort of things that we use, I think ultimately, whether it's a given framework, a given person, a given place, a retreat, a class, whatever, they're like permission slips to get to know ourselves better. It's not to become something that we're not. It's just to get to know ourselves better, because chances are you don't know what you're capable of or what's in there. And yeah, just going back to what you said about those who do get that exposure, you know, tend to find often a kind of rude awakening about what it's really like to have celebrity status. I often think about that phrase, big tree fall hard. It's like, I'm actually, even though my ego has wanted more exposure, more opportunities at different times, I didn't really do anything to work for it because I didn't even know how, and it wasn't super aligned for me. But I'm also grateful because I'm learning my lessons, you know, in front of the audience of people that have gathered to hear what I have to say. But it's nowhere near like in, even though it has felt to me at times deeply public and revealing when I share things about myself, compared to relatively to people who are, you know, really public facing and who have no privacy and nothing, that's challenging. And I think a lot of the people who are striving for that, you know, there are some gifts in not getting it, or not getting it in the way you think you want it, because you know, either way, we're good. It's not padding for learning our lessons. It's just learning your lessons in public. And that presents its own kind of challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the things that we have been told make us valuable have basically been lies, because they introduce more exhaustion into our lives. And the truth is that we have exactly what we need. We just have to remember it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well then, on that theme of exposure, is there anything you would like to share about what you have going on, or anything at all you'd like to say about your offerings?
Yeah. Well, I have a podcast, Our Narratives, and season 5 is an interesting season because I'm going through all of the astrological archetypes every month. We're looking at a new facet per archetype, depending on where the sun is. So like this month we're doing Pisces. And I design these teachings to be teachings, but also for getting to know yourself more. I say that they're spiritual, psychological, and astrological teachings, and they are peppered through with questions to help you self-inquire, because I was guided to start sharing this information with people. You know, if you feel called to listen to it and learn more about yourself, those are the people that are going to find the podcast. And then I also offer one-on-one astrology readings, and I do mentorships for people that just want to learn a little bit more about how to use astrology. And then I do apprenticeships for people that want to become professional astrologers. So you can find all of that at electroastrology.com, and I'm on Instagram and, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah, we do it trusting the process and surrendering to how it's going to unfold. I created an Instagram like just a couple years ago and I left my clinic. I had to ask my mother how to post because I literally didn't know. So yeah, it's just engaging. But again, it's like, how free can I be? Can I be free enough to not wall things off and to still participate in things and still engage and share and expose and just ride the wave of how it's meant to unfold for me? Thank you for sharing. Yeah, sounds like you got a little bit of something for everyone in however you want to engage with astrology, which I like. And yeah, like the episodes I was referring to were much earlier, so I'll have to go back and dig into the newer ones about Pisces.
Yeah.
And yes, I will put all of that in the show notes as well, so people can access those things. Well, Natha, this has been really fun for me. Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. And I'm sure we'll connect again soon.
Yes, this was amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you like the episode and would like to support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review anywhere you listen. And if you'd like to connect further, feel free to reach out on Instagram, my website, or my Patreon page at patreon.com/DrDanielAtkins, where for $5 a month, you can gain access to all sorts of exclusive benefits and offerings for the Be the Vessel community. This includes live channeled events, a new healing series podcast, and more. Until then, may you be the light, the frequency, and the vessel for your highest vision.